When you're out there getting the gossip on me, just tell that crud muffin Mike Boone that I got the sparkling water. And he left out. And if his motorcycle, which is sitting next to my Harley, has a flat tire, I had nothing to do that. Not that I'm that upset or angry or anything. So anyway, we just wanted to review real quick what we've been through the last 3 weeks, because we feel this is a very important lesson series we've been through, very practical for each of us. And leading up to today's lesson, which is when silence isn't golden, we have to think about our anger, about taming our tongue, and about the gossip. Because if we don't learn to control those things in our life, when we do speak out for God, when we do speak to other people, our witness just isn't as effective. If we have anger issues, if we're using the improper language, or if we're talking gossip. Okay, so we want to make sure that those things, and hopefully those lessons have helped you. And I would encourage you, if you haven't listened or you've missed one of those, please pick those up on your way out today or listen to those online, because it kind of ties everything together for what we're talking about today. And that's that our when silence isn't golden. And I want you to do, before you tune me out, and some of you say, well, Wayne, this lesson isn't for me because I just don't feel comfortable sharing my testimony or sharing my faith or helping somebody else. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be on staff. You don't have to be a ministry leader. All you need to know in order to share and help others out in the name of the Lord or in Jesus is to know what he's done for you. Just to feel comfortable in sharing, hey, this is what God has done for me. This is what my life has been like since Jesus. Because I don't ever use my training in seminary or my degree in education when I share with somebody. It's just simply what he has done in my life and sharing into theirs that makes the difference. Because they cannot argue what God has done in your life. They'll argue theology. They can argue doctrine. But they can never argue what he's done in the midst of your life, because it's your story, it's your testimony. And if you ever take the class series in class 401, that's one of the big things we teach in sharing your faith, is it's your story. And that story can help others. So I want you to know this is for everybody, because God has called us all out, each and every one of us, to share what he's done for us with those around us, whether it be at work, with our family, wherever we may go. He wants us to share and speak what he has given and done for us. Now, there are times when we are to be silent, and we've talked about in the last 3 weeks some of those times, where he wants you to be silent to avoid conflict. And if someone cuts you off in traffic and you're ready to say the inappropriate word or make a gesture that isn't very Christian, that's sometimes when we just need to be quiet and watch our tongues and to avoid a conflict so it doesn't turn into road rage. When you're listening to instruction, whether it be at work or wherever it may be, I mean, it would be nice if when you listen today, if I'm giving you some type of instruction, or if you're studying the Bible or reading the Bible, it's a good thing to just listen at that time. Or if you need to control your tongue, there's times when we need to bite our tongue, so to speak, times to be silent, so we don't say something in anger that we're going to regret down the road. And me, the most important thing is we need to be silent and get away from all the distractions when God is speaking to us. Because God says in his word, be still and know that I am God. There are times when I just need to slow down, get in front of him, whether it be on my knees or reading or praying, and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for you to teach me. What is it you want me to hear? So I need to be silent before him. Or to avoid the gossip or speaking evil in somebody's life. Or we talked about in programming tonight, that momentary silence when you're in the middle of a discussion and before we say something, we just kind of say, okay, take a moment of silence, gather our thoughts. Okay, God, what would you want me to say here? What needs to be said in this situation to make this situation what it needs to be for you? So we found a video that kind of puts us all together. There are times when we are to be silent, but there are times when we need to speak up, and God expects us to speak up. And this video is going to be a perfect example of times when people didn't speak up when they probably should have said something.
Scrawny.
Chubby. Short.
Queer.
Getting caught up in bullying, it's so easy because you're just glad that you're not being bullied.
It's been hard for me to stand up for other people because I feel like I'm already a target.
It's just easier to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
we stop?
Fine.
Dude, ow.
Fine.
Stop.
Fine.
Ow, stop.
Do you have any friends?
Yes, I heard you.
What are you even doing here? It's almost too easy.
Ow, stop.
Come on.
I get it.
Maybe
I
you
get
are
it.
A little bit more.
Ooh. You think you're special? One more Virginia meal.
Dude, stop.
You're fine.
I just opened it up and it's all smashed.
Did you order bullied or unbullied?
Bullied or unbullied?
Yeah.
Do you have a manager that I can speak to? Because that doesn't even make any sense.
Hi, your manager.
Hi, how's it going? I was given this.
Did you bully this burger?
Well, yeah. This is a defenseless Whopper Jr. It can't defend itself.
I don't mean anything by it.
It's just for
it's
laughs.
Just for laughs.
Just give me my burger, man.
What the is going on here?
What are you? Is there something wrong with you? Because that's clearly what happened.
Can't be serious.
Had you seen me bullying this burger, would you have stood up and said something?
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah? What's your name?
Reese.
Hi, Reese.
We're just having fun.
You having fun? He's not having fun. So therefore, I think you guys should just leave him alone.
Later. This feels better to me.
Now, before we go into the statistics from that video, there's several things in that video that we've talked about the last 3 weeks. You saw anger in people, more anger in over their hamburger than over someone being bullied. Notice some of the words were bleeped out, inappropriate language. When they get upset, the language, and we actually stopped the video a few seconds short because the girl speaks out and she uses God's name in a context that wasn't meant to be honor God. So we kind of cut off because we've talked here lately about using appropriate language and taming our tongue. And all that stuff was in that video right there. We saw it in action. And I want you to think about for a minute, 30% of all students they surveyed said they had been bullied at some point in time. 30%. One of every three teenagers said they were bullied. Some of you here today may have been or are in that situation where you're bullied, and we want you to know if you're in that situation, please come and talk to somebody. Let us help you through that, because we don't want you to feel that way. We don't want you to feel like the world sometimes wants you to feel. We want you to know you're special in God's eyes, just like that young man was. But the thing that just blew my mind in that video, did you see 95%, almost everyone who had a hamburger that was smashed reported it to the manager, reported, hey, there's something wrong with the burger. Look at this hamburger. And then he said, is there something wrong with you? Well, yeah, I bullied your burger. And you were upset about that. Almost everybody reported. Now you say, well, Wayne, you would do the same. Yeah, I probably would do the same thing. If someone handed me something like that, I'd say, there's something wrong with this. But you see the statistic? Only 12% of those customers there said anything about the young man being bullied. Only 12%. Eight times as many people were more upset over their hamburger being bullied than the young man who was being bullied. Let me put that in another way. 88% of people said nothing when the young man was being bullied. 88%. Said nothing, because we've been taught in this world not to get involved. If it's not you, just stay out of it, because it's better just to stay out. As long as it's not you or somebody you know, just stay out of it. 88% of the people said nothing to that young man, stood up to him and said, and was a voice. You think God would want us to say something in that situation? Absolutely. He would want us to be the voice for that young man to make a difference. Let me give you some even more startling statistics. These statistics come from the Gospel Coalition. They surveyed churches and Christians, and these are regular attenders to church. 62% of all churches in America right now are in decline or have zero growth. 62%. Almost two-thirds of churches in America are seeing a decline or have no growth. So if you go through the Hillsborough area or surrounding Highland County, Adams, Fayette, wherever you're from, and you count the churches on the way home, 2 out of every 3 of those churches, statistically, have no growth or in decline. But yet, we choose not to speak out sometimes. 61% of the people, and these are people who are supposedly regular church growing, said they have not shared their faith, within the last year, 6 months to a year. Again, almost 2/3. Half of those people they surveyed said they haven't even invited anybody to church. Haven't invited anybody to church. 20%, and this is definitely something at Good News Gathering we do not want to happen, 20% said they never or rarely ever prayed for non-church people. Don't even pray for them. Think about that. Do you know that we exist? The church exists for those who aren't in it yet. Do you know that's why we exist? We exist to reach out to those people. In the last survey, and if you've taken the class series, you've heard this statistic, and 27,000, over 27,000 people in the 2010 census said they had no connection or little connection to church within 15 miles of where you're studying today. 27,000 plus. So if we were to reach all the people according to that 2010 census, we need churches that would hold 27,000 more people. If we're to reach the people for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the one that really gets me, 10% of those who called themselves Christians or regular church attender or involved in the ministry said they were embarrassed to share their faith with anybody or even say they were a Christian. Do you think there's a problem in America today? Last night I was even reading on social media, somebody from here at Good News Gathering had posted something similar to what I'm talking about today and put out statistics about churches and the percent of people involved in this stuff, and even said that their survey said only 5% of the people said they'd ever shared their faith in the last year. 5%. Think about that. Even though in the Gospel Coalition, when they surveyed people, 75% of the people surveyed said they felt comfortable sharing their testimony, but still we see the statistics. They're not. And 80% said they felt comfortable and had a personal responsibility to share their faith, but yet they are not doing it. There's a problem there. So you've come in today, you're given an outline, a sheet of paper with holes punched in it. I want to talk about two things before we get started and deep into this lesson today. There are types of sin, and the one type of sin is the sin of commission. And sin of commission is this. It's that first bullet point. Sin of commission is, and the definition is not up here, but commission is when we know it's wrong and we still do it. When you know you're doing something wrong and you still continue to do it, that's sin of commission. You're admitting to it. What if I'm doing something? If I know I should stop at the stop sign, I blow on through it, or if I do that thing, if I go out and meet you in the atrium afterwards and I tell you what I heard about Mike Boone, which if I will tell you, it's be gossip I said it in here, it'd be okay out there, right? If I know it's wrong and I still do it, think about that. I know it's wrong and I still do it. And there's a sin, the second bullet point, of omission. And that simply is when I know to do something right and I choose not to do it. I know it's the right thing to do, but I don't do it. Just like in that video we just watched. All those people sitting there knew, they knew it was the right thing to do to stand up for the young man that was being bullied, but they chose not to do it. A few weeks ago, I pulled into the gas station on the way to work and got some gas and a couple protein bars to take to work with me. And as I'm pulling out of the gas station, I see a gentleman who I'd never seen before, a vehicle I'd never seen. He kind of motions like this, and I'm thinking, I'm looking around, and he can't be motioning to me. So I pull on out, head to work. But as I get down the road, I'm thinking, okay, I knew at that point God had put somebody in my path that day, and I knew I probably should have stopped to see what the gentleman wanted. I chose not to stop that day. I knew the right thing to do was probably to stop. But the time I made a decision to go back, of course, he's gone. And now I've 2 or 3 weeks have went by, and it's still in my mind every day. Lord, did I mess up? Was that somebody in my path that day? And I chose not to do the right thing. Jeff shared in one of his teachings a year or two ago about a lady who got stabbed in New York. Maybe you heard the story on the news. She got stabbed multiple times, and during the investigation of this alleged attack. And she had it was found that 41 people witnessed it, and not one person said a word. Not one person said a word. It's what we found out on Monday night programming. It's called the bystander effect. The more people that are involved in something, the less likely you are to say something. When you get a crowd, everybody's thinking, well, somebody will say something, somebody else will do something, and nobody takes the initiative. And I think in the church today, the reason why we see these statistics is that we have got the bystander effect. It's somebody else will do it. Somebody else will say something. Somebody else will go do that. And we've got this bystander effect in the church. When we see these declines in our churches and no growth in a lot of the churches, because we've got this bystander effect, instead of us kind of pulling up our sleeves and saying, let's go do it, we choose to be the bystander. In the Old Testament, God spoke a lot to his people through prophets. And there are a lot of prophets in the Old Testament. One of those prophets was Ezekiel. And God says, tell my people this. If you don't speak to someone and turn them from their ways, he says, first of all, they're going to die. And secondly, I will hold you accountable if you don't speak to them. Now we're real serious about this teaching, because God expects us to not to be silent, to speak up, to make a difference in people's lives. Our focus verse for this last time in this series is coming up on screens. It comes from Proverbs chapter 10. If you would, please recite that verse with me. It says this: the words of a good person give life, like a fountain of water, but the words of the wicked contain nothing but violence. I said it 2 weeks ago. The words of a good person gives what? Gives life. That young man in that video we just watched, if he continues to get bullied and get bullied, things can happen. He can get depressed. He can stop having hope in his future. But if one person takes a stand and says, hey, doesn't have to be this way, you're speaking life into him. You're giving him hope. I want to use that as a springboard into today's lesson, that we have that same opportunity to give hope. You know, if you have the hope and the cure for something, you want to give that to somebody, right? Think about that. Let us pray. Lord, we are here today to talk about a very serious topic. We've just are going to conclude today one of the most serious lessons series we've had in a while. And it's how we affect people's lives, not only here, but eternally. And Lord, we pray today that our eyes and ears are opened. And I pray, Father, right now that I don't speak one word that doesn't come from you. Please remove me from this, that your people hear only your voice and not mine. We just give the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does the Bible say about it? If you don't believe the Bible says anything about silence, then we just, well, stop today and we all go home early. Okay, the people in Kids Connection might be, you know, a little befuddled, but we could all just leave. Then you can go talk to Mike Boone and find out what he heard about me this week, which may or may not be true. But James chapter 4, getting to the serious part, this is what James, and you've heard a lot of James in this series, and if you want some practical stuff, James to me is one of the most practical books in the Bible as far as how we are to live, how do we are to talk, what we are to say. He says this: if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is what? Sin for them. It doesn't get any clearer than that scripture right there. He says, if you know to do good and what you ought to do and you don't do it, it says right there, it is a sin. That's not me speaking. That's James writing in the New Testament saying, this is what it is. And say, well, Wayne, that doesn't mean my speech. Yes, it does. It means everything we do. If we know where to speak into somebody's life, if we know where we are to do good and don't do it, it says right there, James says, it's sin for them. Let me give you another scripture from 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and part of 16. But in your hearts, it says, to revere Christ as Lord. First of all, we've got to revere Christ and have him in our life. He says, if you do this, how many times he says, always, underline that, circle, do whatever you need to do, always, not sometimes, not once in a while, not just on Sundays. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to who? Everyone. Circle that, highlight it, whatever. Everyone who asks to give the reason, and here's what I told you earlier. You don't have to have a degree in theology. You don't have to have gone to seminary. You don't have to be on the leadership team. You don't have to be the leader of a ministry here. He says all you need to do is give the reason for the what? Hope that you have. All you need to do to speak into somebody's life, to speak life in them, is know the hope that you have in your life and share that with others. That's all. I can tell you right now, I don't use any of the classes I had in seminary or any of the classes I had to get my master's degree when I'm sharing my faith with somebody. It's simply, I'm sharing with you what he has done for me, and you just lay it out there. It's that easy. It's that simple. But it has to do this in gentleness and with respect. If you had the cure for cancer, if you had that, and you had the knowledge for that, would you keep it to yourself? I guarantee you, me and my wife would right now, because just 2 days ago, we had that within our family. We heard the C word. We got the news from the doctor. I guarantee you, we wouldn't keep it secret, not just because now. We want it for everybody. A lot of families here have been affected by it. You would share that. If your neighbor's house is on fire, I guarantee you, you would dial 911. You have that same thing within your life that God has given you to speak correction, to speak guidance, to speak encouragement, to speak the good news into people's lives. We should have that same fervor in our lives to share that the same we would with these other things. That's what we have to have. If we're going to change the course of where our nation and world are going, it's up to you and I to do that. And all we need to do, right there it says, give an answer to everyone and ask to give a reason for the hope that you have. And you say, Wayne, I'm not for sure how that. I'll tell you how I got to it. When I first became a Christian, I wasn't ready to go out and share my faith. But I got around a bunch of older, more mature Christians. I won't say older, more mature Christians. And I saw them start sharing their faith in restaurants and hotels and hanging around these people. And I tell you, after a while, I got to the point, hey, I can do this. You get around people who share their faith or involved in ministry, going to Ward 3 and doing those things, the free sale or working when the kids connect, or whatever it may be, all of a sudden it becomes easy to share the hope that you have if you're not that way. I looked a few people up and researched for this. I want to share two or three people with you that said to me some astounding things about our silence and how we should speak out. The first one I'm going to talk about is, his name is D.T. Niles. D.T. Niles died in 1970. He worked in the Methodist Church in a small nation who I can't even pronounce his name, which was part of the Commonwealth of Nations, which I didn't even know existed until I did this research. He said this, and you've heard the first part of his phrase. Many of you have heard this. He says, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. A lot of you have heard that, and I've heard that. But what I didn't know was the second part, which we never hear. He says this, to not speak, to hide the light, to stay silent, would be to let another person go hungry. I guarantee you, everyone sitting here today, and that will hear this over the podcast or the internet, whatever, if you had it within your means to feed somebody, to help somebody out who was hungry, I guarantee you, you all would do that. You would feed them. You would buy their meal. You would give them food. Whatever it may be, you would do that. You wouldn't let them go hungry. And he says, well, we do the same thing spiritually. Because if you don't speak, if you remain silent when God is wanting you to speak, he says, it's the same as letting them go hungry. And we know what happens if somebody goes hungry long enough. We packed almost 30,000 meals here a few weeks ago to send to Haiti. 30,000 meals prepared to those people in Haiti that we go and serve on our teams, get fed and get nourishment, which they normally wouldn't get. That's the same thing with us spiritually. I wonder how many spiritual meals we're willing to feed in our lives and share with people. The second one is Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke, 150, 200 years ago, was part of the Parliament. He lived in London. He was an author and a philosopher, and some of you may have heard of him. Me being a mathematician, I've never heard of this guy till this, but I've heard his statement. Because I've heard this statement. He says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do what? Nothing. Some of you have heard that. I want to change that today. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for Christians to say nothing. The moment you choose not to say something when you know you should, evil has triumphed in that life. When you and I choose not to say anything. Keep in mind, 62% of all churches in America say they're in decline or there's no growth. As few as 5% of the Christians say that they share their faith. Keep that in mind. We don't want that to be here at Good News Gathering. The last person I'm going to use is Pope Francis, who is the 266th Pope of the Catholic Church. When he was speaking to the Catholics, he said this one time, when you don't share or you remain silent, he said this to the people, when you fail to speak, he said, it is comfortable and silent complicity. When you choose not to speak, he said, it's comfortable, first of all, and it's silent complicity. Those people who chose not to speak to that young man in that commercial were silent complicitors to what he was going through. It was more comfortable for them to sit there and not get involved. 88% of the people chose to be silent complicitors. He goes on to say in that speech, true faith, but cannot speak out. True faith cannot but speak out. If we have the faith that God wants us and needs us to have, we are going to speak out. Because I want everybody I know to experience what I've experienced, the hope that I have. We all should want that. And I know, I guarantee you, there's times I miss it. I just shared one instant with you. Every day there's probably times I've missed it. And I said, please, Lord, let me not be silent when you need me to speak out into somebody's life. Let me be the difference. Because I am here today because someone decided not to be silent in my life and spoke into me. They started sharing things with me. Silence isn't golden wind. We're going to talk about four topics today. When silence isn't golden. Silence is not golden when, number one, someone is asking about your faith or my faith. When someone asks you about your faith or silence is not golden then because he says, I told you in Acts chapter 20, I told you all. He says, I told you all the truth about God. Not just some of it. He says, I'm telling you everything you need to hear that God has done for me. All that you need to do, all that you need to hear. I'm telling you all of the what? He says, truth. Because that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is truth. How many of you believe, when you listen to the news media today, that you honestly believe it's 100% truth? I guarantee you not one person here believes everything you hear in the news is true. It's not. It's not. Some of it's not true. It's slanted. But I'm telling you, when you share what God has given you, it's 100% truth. Are we willing to share that, to give the good news, to share the hope that you and I have? Here's a question I want to ask you today, and I want you to think about this next fill-in, real seriously. Am I comfortable? Are you comfortable in sharing your faith? Are you comfortable in sharing your faith? Would you be that 80% that says, yes, I am? And then would you be willing to use it and share it when the opportunity arises? And if not, get involved in ways here. We had Good News Gathering to share your faith. Take the class series. Get involved in prep. Get involved in a ministry. Get around people who share. And before you know it, you're going to be sharing your faith more freely, more openly, with more confidence. For example, you're at a family reunion, which a lot of you will be here. Maybe you already had yours. And a family member comes up and says, you go to church, don't you? You go to church? Or I've been thinking about God lately. I've been thinking about church and God saying, right now, here's your opportunity to speak up. Now, what are you going to say to them? How do you react to them? Do you kind of push it off and hope it goes away? Or do you say, okay, here we go, God. We're going to dive into this and I'm going to share what you've done for me. Think about that. People, it could be anywhere. You could be at Walmart. You could be out to eat. And someone brings up the conversation and says, what do you think about this? I've been thinking lately. And there's your opportunity to open the door, to walk in and start sharing what God has done for you. The second reason why silence isn't golden is when someone wanders from the faith. When someone wanders from the faith. James again tells us in chapter 5, he says this, My brothers and sisters, if one, not 10, not 20, if one, many of you are listening to that song it's out right now, by Corey, and I can't remember his last name, but he leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. He says, if one should wander from the what? Truth. If you know someone's wandering from the truth, someone should bring that person back. Remember this, whoever turns that sinner, which he's calling us sinners, if we wander from the truth, it is a sin. That could be me. From the truth and brings them back, he says, from the error of their way, will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We know sins are covered by the blood, Christ. You bring them back, but here's what we've got to remember when bringing them back. And we don't want to do this sometimes, because if I say something to somebody, then I got to say, okay, what did I do this week? Did I say do the wrong thing? Are they going to come back at me and say, you said this, you did this. We have that fear within us. We got to overcome. He says, lead them, go into them and talk to them. It's Christianity to you rolling up your sleeves. And you're going in and saying, okay, God, you're speaking to somebody. When you go to that person and you speak to them, he says, and one of my commentaries said this, when you earnestly pursue them and bring them back, he says, then it's up to them, if you bring them back, you speak in your life, how they react to what you've shared with them. It's not your decision. It's their decision to say, okay, yeah, maybe I do have an error here. Maybe I need to change some things here. It's up to them to respond to the truth that you're sharing with them. But here's the deal. They also said, when you bring that person back, it's you bring them back in grace and mercy with encouragement to see them reestablished and brought back to where they were before. Because eternal lives are at stake. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. If you were to see me out, okay, wherever it may be, whatever venue or restaurant, whatever, and you saw me doing something that you thought this is not right for anybody to do, you came back to your group, you came back to church, or you went back home and you said, you don't believe what I saw Wayne doing tonight, or what he said, or what he's doing. That's gossip. What you need to do is call me up or see me and say, Wayne, I noticed something, I saw something last week, and I want to tell you, I don't think that was appropriate. I don't think that was right. And maybe you turned me from where I was headed the wrong path, down the wrong road, to let me realize, yeah, you're right. Probably is wrong. I did say the wrong thing. I probably shouldn't have said that. That's what he's saying. Bring that person back. I'll give you another example. And someone shared this in programming Monday night. And maybe you saw this news a while back. A lady's on an airplane. She notices a gentleman sitting beside her is watching pornography on his device. And that pornography had some, she thought, was probably children involved in it that weren't of age. So she tells the stewardess, listen, this guy back here is watching this stuff on his phone. I don't think it's right. She alerts the authorities. When the plane lands, and I can't tell you what city it was or even what country, when the plane lands, the authorities are there. They start questioning the guy. And through the questioning, this guy finds out that he is one of the leaders in a ring of human trafficking that was worldwide. They busted up a ring, and some of them involved children. They stopped this and busted into it because one person decided to say what needed to be said. What he's doing is wrong. And who knows how many lives were saved and changed because that one lady decided to say something on the plane to stop this. You and I have the obligation. Because what happens is right living is the evidence of faith in action. So if we've got the things in our lives in order, then that right living is going to lead us to be able to do things and help one another out. I'm here to tell you right now, if at any time you see me or see me doing something or saying something you think is inappropriate, I'm giving you right now the authority, whatever, to say something to me. I want you to do that. I need you to do that. You're commanded to do that, to say something to me. Say, Wayne, I just don't know if this is right here. And who knows? Maybe you stop me from going on a path that would lead me away from the truth. The third thing, when silence isn't golden, when someone is asking you for guidance. When someone isn't asking you for guidance. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 says this. To give a good answer is a joy to a man, and how pleasing is a word given in the what time? Right time. When is the right time? When that person asks you for guidance, that's the time you want to speak. Not a week later, not a month later, when they're asking. And you've all had this question, what do you think about this person I'm seeing? What do you think about them? So you have a choice to make. Make a godly decision. If you don't think it's right, you need to say, well, I'll tell you what, I don't think this is the right relationship for you. Janice and I, we can personally testify this. When one of our sons was dating in high school, I can tell you right now, there were two girls in particular. We prayed and prayed and prayed and talked to them. This is not right for you. This is not the relationship you need to be in right now. You're going down the wrong path. It's pulling you down. You need to get. And we literally prayed for this relationship to end. And it did. And God sent to him a good Christian lady, young woman, into his life that he needed to help him stay where he needed to stay. And now they're both involved in church and ministry because we prayed, Lord, this isn't right. And we spoke to him. And if you've got teenagers, you know, they did. This might be a newsflash to some of you. They don't always listen to what you have to say as a parent. Okay? And he didn't at the time. But through the power of God and prayer, it ended. And God sent to him the one person I really think that God needed, he needed to have in his life at that time. We spoke out. We spoke in. We give him advice. Whatever it may be. They come for you advice. Be willing and ready to give advice to that person. And sometimes you give advice when you're not even asked. You just know it's the right time to say something. To speak into that person's life. Because God is saying this is what they need to hear. The fourth time thing we're going to talk. And there are other categories you may want to put in. That's fine. We don't have time to maybe to do six or seven categories. But to me, these are the four most important ones. And number four, which is should be on your hearts, is silence isn't golden when someone cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 31 tells us, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. There are people around us that need your voice. They need you to speak up for them. If you want an example, Good News Gathering is involved in Southern Ohio Pregnancy Center. You help. I know a lot of you are. There's people that volunteer to do a tremendous. If you've never been up there to see that, I encourage you sometime to go see that because it's amazing what they do up there. Bikers for Christ, we just did a benefit ride for them about 4 weeks ago. I'm here to tell you that in Highland County, because you as a church has decided to get involved, and some of you as individuals deciding to get involved, cut the abortions in Highland County in half in 1 year. In 1 year. You cut them in half. Because they're out there working with these young people and give them the right choices to make. Now, it went from 36 to 18. That's still 18 too many. We still got a lot of work to do. But you're making a difference. You're being a voice for those who don't have a voice yet. You're speaking into their lives. And you're making a difference. Hope over heroin. There are some of you here involved in that. You're being a voice sometimes for those people who don't have a voice. You're making a difference in their lives. You're helping them out. Some of you go to the homeless shelter. Some to the prisons. You're being a voice sometimes for those who need a voice. The project you're doing up here in Ward 3, just being a voice to the people. I'm here to tell you this, sometimes, this next villain, sometimes the silence is broken by your actions. I'm telling you right now, the people, and maybe some of you here this morning, have seen Good News Gathering in that midst of that ward, that project. You've got a voice, and some of you have never said a word, but you're a voice to that community. Because you're making a difference through your actions. You're making a difference through your actions. Reasons why we remain silent. I hope you can overcome some of these today as we talk about this. Why do we remain? Number one reason that they surveyed people is said they have fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of rejection, fear of somebody saying something and upset. We have to overcome that fear. You can take the classes, you can get involved in prep, get involved in ministry, get around somebody if you have that fear that is willing to share, and get out there and watch them. And I'm telling you, you're going to overcome your fear. You have to overcome your fear of sharing your faith and speaking in somebody's life because they need to hear what you have. You've got the best news in the world to give somebody. Someone say, oh, I don't feel knowledgeable enough. I shared your scripture with you a little bit ago. All you need to know is your story. That's all you need to know to share with somebody, is what he's done in your life. Yeah, it's good. The more scripture we know, the better off we are. There's no doubt about that. But all you need to know is to be willing to share your story in somebody's life to give them guidance. And here's one that really gets under my skin. People worried about being politically correct. Oh, I might not be politically correct. Here's something I want to leave you with today. Why don't you worry about what God thinks instead of what the news thinks? I try to be godly correct. Okay, God, what would you want me to say today? People say they're spiritual lazy. Laziness, he says, we are more focused on what Jesus can do for us than what we can do for Jesus. And then he said, this is what they said, we are too busy in our lives to make this a priority, so they keep on keeping on and ignore it. Worldly influence, because you and I are made to believe that if we have faith, we keep it to ourselves and don't share it with anybody else because you might offend somebody. Get to overcome that. Are you going to be rejected sometime? Absolutely. And if you take the class series, the one thing we'll tell you, the only way to fail is not to do anything. If you choose to do nothing, then you have failed. Remember a couple weeks ago, if you were here, I shared with you 85% of people polled under the age of 40 said they knew somebody that called themselves a Christian. 85%, which means we can touch 85% of that group, but only 15% of those people polled said they saw a difference in the lives of the way people were living. We got to overcome that. Because Jesus said this to his disciples when he was talking to them, getting ready to send them out. He says this, and this isn't in your handout, but he says, listen, understand one thing, and I'm sharing this with you. They hated Jesus before they hated you. He says, they hated me. They hated me to the point where they hung me on a cross. They hated me. The world hated me before it hated you. He goes on to tell them this. He says, I have chosen you out of the world. So rejoice when the world doesn't like you. Jesus is telling each and every one of you today, right now, I've chosen you out to make a difference in people's lives. And you would agree with me that we need to make a difference. Jesus says, don't hide your light under a basket. Don't hide your light. That last feeling says, I should have a deep desire to change the world for Jesus through my faith. I should have a deep desire to change the world for Jesus by sharing my faith. Do you have a deep desire today to change the world for the better? My world has been changed. I have been made a better person because of him, because somebody shared their faith with me. Please do this for me this week. You take the steps necessary to break the silence for God in your life. You speak into somebody's life when God presents opportunity this week. Promise me, if God gives you the opportunity, you'll speak into that person's life. You'll speak truth to them. And please do this. We would want you, and I guarantee the leadership team would want you to do this. Would you please pray for the non-church, the non-Christians? Please lift them up in your prayers. Think of a person you know that doesn't know the Lord and doesn't know Jesus, and start praying for them. We exist for those people. And in that last fill-in, there's a box there. Now leave that so you got to keep your outlines out. And please, remember this. This is a single company screen. You got to fill this out on your own. I want to ask you this. Leave you in this box. Will my voice, I'll say it again, will my voice be silenced when God needs it? And only you can answer that question. I can't answer that for you. Nobody sitting here can answer that. But I'm going to ask you right now, think about this real seriously. If God needs your voice this week, will it remain silent? Or will it speak out the truth that people need to hear? On your way out today, I'm going to give you a perfect opportunity. Pick up one of those cards to invite somebody here to God on Film. Pick up those cards. It's an easy way. If you say, man, this would be an easy way to get out there, to get your faith going, to get share, just give them a card. Share it with them. There's bags of popcorn out there. All you got to do is hand a person a bag of popcorn. Take two or three with you. That's an easy way to start sharing your faith and put truth into somebody's life. Would you please do that? Don't let your voice be silenced this week when God needs you to speak out. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank and praise you for this day. We thank you, Father, for all that you've given and done for us. And Lord, too long the church has been silent. For too long, the voices have not been heard. The voice of truth. We need to be the voice of truth. We need to tell the truth of your love and your grace and your mercy and what you've done for us, the hope that we have in you. Let us be that voice this week and put us in a place, in a position where we are willing to share our faith and make a difference in somebody's life this week. Give us the courage and the strength to do so. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.